Welcome to the Easy Yoga Podcast with myself, Gemma Neese, Easy Yoga founder, author, yoga coach, and relationship coach. It is my pleasure to have you here and for you to feel energized, calm, happy, and for you to have the perfect relationship with yourself, your partner, and your family without seeing a family therapist, changing your personality, or leaving your job. You will learn techniques and things to help you guide you through a better life through health, meditation, yoga, journaling, nutrition, and all things yoga, for you to have the life you deserve and crave, and for you to love yourself on a soul level. Thank you so, so much for being here today, and I am so grateful and so full of love to have you here. Enjoy this next episode. Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode from Easy Yoga, all things relationships, yoga, and well-being. And today my special guest is Myra McHale. And Myra has a background in clinical hypnotherapy, mindfulness training, career coaching, and yoga, which makes her a highly intuitive life coach and uniquely qualified to support her clients on their journey of personal development. She does not niche, and her clients find her. And after a 20-minute intro chat with mutual agreement, there will be an invite to a longer coaching call where you can experience her unique style firsthand. Then obviously the conversation may continue, or you may be complete. You've got absolutely nothing to lose and perhaps a lot to gain. So welcome so much. Thank you for being here. I'm really excited.
Thank you so much. Delighted to be invited. Thanks,
Jill. Thank you. So how did you kind of get into what you're doing now?
Well, I thought you might ask me that question. So I mean, we're here to grow, we're here to learn. So it's been an evolution. I always had an interest in yoga. I mean, back in the day in sixth form, me and my pal Claudine used to give yoga lessons to our fellow sixth formers. And so it's always something that I've dipped in and out of. And but then in 2004, I completed, in that time, it was a four-year diploma course for the British School of Yoga, Hatha Yoga. So I thought I wanted to do that. And that I developed as a person so much in that time. I've actually, we can touch on it later. I've just pulled out a few books that I was going to share with you
as we go
along. But yes, my journey. So never really got into the corporate world too well. Worked in a lot of different industries and was a very restless soul, very restless soul. So after I did the yoga, I was working as a career coach for a few years. And but I didn't feel very satisfied doing that. And I thought, well, I'm getting to a time in my life when I want to do something that really interests me. And so I was feeling a little bit unhappy, and I started to read Arianna Huffington's book, The Third Metric, and it's all about mindfulness and burnout in the workplace. And I thought, Oh my God, I know this stuff. Why am I not doing more of this?
Yeah.
And then I thought, hold on a minute. There's a difference. People talk about mindfulness and they talk about yoga meditation. I wanted to understand the difference. And so I set off to learn about that. And I completed a couple of really tip-top mindfulness courses. One of them was to teach mindfulness in the workplace. One of them was more just for personal development. And so that made a huge difference to my life. And I started to then approach corporates, and I taught in corporates. Mindfulness, that is, and I taught it through adult community learning where I live in Essex, and it was life-changing. And I can put my hand on my heart and say that for most people that attended the course, it's 6 to 8 weeks, it was life-changing for them.
Wow.
And so I then wanted to continue the journey, and so in 2018 I completed a clinical hypnotherapy I did the rapid transformational therapy course with Marissa Peer, and then after a year completed enough training to be known as a clinical hypnotherapist as well. And so all of this is wrapped up in what I deliver when I coach people.
That's
all of it.
Yeah, that's really
nothing
good.
Yeah, so that's been my journey. And so I just do what I love now. And the personal development, though, never stops.
Yes.
It never stops.
Yeah. It definitely is a long journey, but a changing one as
It's a long and changing journey. I'm learning all the time. I've got some books here that I was going to just talk to you about.
Sure. Yeah.
But the most recent one, which I wanted to show you, my lovely, oh, you don't know if you can see this, my lovely bookmark from Morocco, my daughter bought me.
Oh, nice.
It's about self-love and forgiveness. And forgiveness for yourself, for what you deem to have got wrong or done wrong, but also forgiveness to those who have wronged you. Mm-hmm. So I was going to read you a little bit from this book, which is Living Untethered by Michael A. Singer. And I just thought your listeners might really love to hear this.
Yeah.
Because he's from a yoga background. And Jon Kabat-Zinn, who started the mindfulness movement, is a yoga teacher.
Oh, wow.
Yes, he's a yoga teacher. That's how it all started. He noticed that people who suffered from pain and depression really reacted well to yoga. Yeah. So anyway, so this guy, yoga teacher. And this is what he says. This is what happens when you are willing to let go of your past. This is a very important spiritual practice. You should be able to look back on your past and say, thank you. It doesn't matter what happened. Remember, every moment there are trillions and trillions of things going on in the universe, but you only get to experience one. How can you not appreciate the one you got to see? You come down to earth and this was the experience you had. That's what your life is, the sequence of experiences you've got to experience. Learn to love and appreciate your past. Fully embrace it. Thank it for teaching you. And let go of any judgment that there was something wrong with it. Your past is uniquely yours. It happened, it's sacred, it's beautiful. Nobody else ever had it, and nobody else ever will. Embrace your past, hug it, kiss it, love it to death. So
I love that.
It's pretty incredible. Nice. And I think, obviously, I'm a good bit older than you, Gemma. And I'm, you know, the spiritual practices become more important, or they certainly become more important to me. And so only I can honestly say, Gemma, only in the last couple of years have I learned to fully release the past.
Yes. Yeah. You know? And me too, actually. Yeah.
Well, if you're doing it at your age.
Years, yeah. I'm 40 now. So
more power to you. I'm in my 60s now, early 60s.
So look at
Thank you. But you know, I put that down to yoga.
Yeah.
Because I do a neti practice and, you know, Ajna chakra and that sort of thing. But also, putting it bluntly, if you are running thoughts in your head that are hateful thoughts and your bitter thoughts and you're disappointed in yourself, you're resentful of others, this shows up on your face.
Yes.
There is no peace.
Yeah.
There's no peace. So
love that. Yeah, definitely. And I think as well, I came into yoga thinking it was, or I did it for fitness. And for those of my listeners who have been with me from the start, they know that I've got hip dysplasia, that I'm healing myself. Yeah. And I had it, it must be 16 years now that I've had it, or I was born with it, but nobody knew until I started running, which was 2005, I think. So yeah, 18 years ago, whatever it is. And then I had severe hip pain. So then I found yoga when we went to Thailand, and then kind of, loved it and found that it really helped my pelvis and my hips. And then I kind of did it more for like a fitness thing. But over the years that I've been doing it since 2006, it's become a lifestyle and like more of a spiritual practice.
Yes.
And I find a lot of my people that I teach now at the spas that I teach at are fitness, but gradually they are more spiritual now as well. And it's incredible to kind of see that evolution.
And the thing about it is the mind and body are so totally related. And so there's a feedback going on between the mind and the body all the time, or there should be. But sometimes we get so stuck in our heads that gets disconnected. And the wonderful thing about yoga, I always think, you know, when you're doing the asanas, is you get to know your body. You're spending time in your body. For instance, you start to notice the lack of symmetry between the left and the right side.
Yeah.
And one side's so much stiffer than the other. I mean, when else do you get the time to do this? And going back to Jon Kabat-Zinn, who basically started the mindfulness movement in the 1970s, he's a professor emeritus in Massachusetts University, and he dealt with people who suffered from pain and depression. And he was already a yoga teacher himself, along with being an eminent psychologist. He was already a yoga teacher. So he just felt like he wanted to help people, and what he did traditionally wasn't working.
Yes.
So he started to notice that people in these situations really responded well to a yoga practice, just being in their body. And that's mindful, being in your body,
yes.
Paying attention to the body, listening to the body, because when you do something like a body scan in mindfulness, which is not dissimilar to yoga nidra,
mm-hmm.
it's not totally dissimilar to that. You're traveling around different parts of the body, but you're sort of letting the body talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
I remember years ago running a mindfulness practice for a course. She was a very stressed out financial advisor. And she's suffering from chronic stress, loss of memory and all sorts of things. And we did the body scan. I remember, you know, you always ask for there's an inquiry afterwards.
Yeah.
So I was asking people how they got on. And she said, I know this is going to sound ridiculous. I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but I actually seem to have some sort of dialogue with my big toe.
Oh, wow.
I felt so connected with my toes in a way that I haven't done for years.
That's amazing.
But also, you know, there are surprises too when you do that journey around the body at where the tension is, you know, at where the tension is. And of course, yoga is so wonderful for releasing tension, and the pranayama as well.
Love that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the yoga, the mudras, and absolutely. I mean, I did teach for a little while myself, but honestly, I think that people were a bit more interested in the fitness side of it.
Yeah.
And I was much more interested in doing the pranayama and the yoga nidra, of course the asanas, but I suppose because I wasn't the world's most flexible person, I felt myself,
yeah,
I need to be able to demonstrate this better for people. So that's why I stopped teaching it. But
yeah,
like I said to you when we first started chatting, it informs everything that I do. It informs everything.
It's so true. And I'm like that. I'm not very bendy in my pelvis because of my hip dysplasia, and my pelvis goes in. So I just kind of make a joke of it, of like, oh, well, this is what you're supposed to do, but I can't do it. So
Good for you. And also, when you're doing that, you're probably able to offer people so many different alternatives as
yes,
well,
yeah.
which is great.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I mean, hands up, I could be a bit gung-ho. I remember, do you know the Tibetan rites?
Yes, I've heard of those, yes.
Oh, love those. Yeah, and I try and do those. I don't do them every morning, but I try. You remember the story about it, Bruce Forsyth, who's no longer with us, he married a much younger woman, and apparently her mother said, you can marry my daughter if you do the Tibetan rites every day.
Really?
Yeah, that's the story behind it. So I've got lots of books on that. But I remember teaching it in a class because I thought, wow, this is fantastic. And of course, there wasn't enough caution. I should have been a little bit more careful because one of the ladies at the back of the room got very, very dizzy, even after just a few spins,
right.
You know, because the ultimate goal is to work up to 21, isn't it?
Yeah.
Of each part of the sequence. But yeah, I mean, that's so fantastic too. So
that's amazing.
Just a subject that you can talk about forever.
Oh, it is. It really is. And if you're so passionate, like we both are about it, you can just talk forever.
I am. And I've learned that, you know, sometimes, you know, when I was a bit more judgmental, I would say, well, you know, you did that training, but you're not teaching yoga. What's wrong with you? You're onto something else. But now, as I reflect on it, it's all the same path.
Yeah.
Just, you know, it's just my evolution.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, for instance, one of my close friends is a yoga teacher. She's a very good yoga teacher, but she is more grounded in the asana work.
Yes.
So we collaborate sometimes. And so in September, I've taught mindfulness with her group, but we're doing another collaboration just because it's fun and we like to.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to do an introduction to mindfulness or a refresher, but I'm going to do a yoga nidra session.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Love that.
I love yoga nidra.
Yeah. It's so nice. And for the listeners who don't know what that is, can you explain what it is?
Well, yes, I can. It's in fact, I'm going to read from Swami Satyananda Saraswati. Yoga Nidra is a simple yet profound technique adapted by Swami Satyananda Saraswati from the traditional tantric practice of Nyasa. So what happens in, probably just in my own words, but it's a method of inducing complete mental, emotional and physical relaxation suitable for all practitioners. So what happens is that you are led in a guided journey around the body. So literally, I will be saying things like left big toe, second toe, third toe, fourth toe, fifth toe, top of the foot, bottom of the foot, ankle. So you're guided through the left side and the right side of the body. And you don't have to do anything but just focus, and try not to fall asleep. And then you're also presented, I mean, people do fall asleep because most people are sleep deprived and exhausted. So to get them into a very relaxed state. And this state of yoga nidra is the way that it feels at its best. It's you're in that state in between being awake and asleep. And they say that 15 minutes in yoga nidra, I always do it for longer if I can, is equivalent to, you know, a good couple of hours sleep. It's so deeply relaxing. So you have the guided round the body and then maybe some breath work, depending on how long you've got, counting back from 100, or for instance. And then you get some beautiful images like golden temple, full moon, and whichever images you care to introduce. And that's it, really. But the end result is deep relaxation, unless you fall asleep, because you're always going to hear a few people snoring.
Yeah, I do. My glasses. It's funny. But then you kind of think, oh, actually, I've done my job. They're relaxed.
How do you find the time to do yoga nidra when you're delivering it only in an hour or so for the health club? Or do you have longer sessions?
No, we just have an hour, but I do it for... Like if we were doing Hatha yoga, we would then do Shavasana for 15 minutes. But then I do kind of take bits from yoga nidra into it. So I will always do like scan your body, let go, and then, yeah, relax from the soles of your feet and work all the way up. But sometimes I will do it all in one, or sometimes I will then do left foot, left leg, left knee, left right, go all the way up, and then forehead cross over down the right.
That's it. Yeah, obviously all areas of the body, and then the whole of the left side, the whole of the right side. But it's a fantastic practice, and it's great because when I was training with Hatha yoga, that was kind of the classic class, but it was an hour and a half.
Right.
So you'd start off with your relaxation poses, and then you'd be building to the asana of that class, whatever that was, limbering up for it. And then you would finish with on the mat for yoga nidra for 15 or minutes or longer. So I was trained for an hour and a half class, and because of course you can spend so much longer in yoga nidra if you want, but if the fact that you can offer people a taste of that in your sessions is fantastic when you're doing Hatha yoga. And indeed I was trained in Hatha yoga.
No, I love it, definitely. And if someone was to start their yoga journey, like they're listening to us and think, oh, actually that sounds quite nice, how would you say go about it? Would you say do an hour? Would you say do 5 minutes? Kind of what would your starting point be?
Well, my starting point would be it's a really good idea to join a class and do some research on local teachers, and clearly somebody who is fully immersed within yoga is a good person to head for. I was trained with the British Wheel of Yoga, but there are other organizations out there, and they have on their websites people who are qualified. But often word of mouth, a friend or somebody that you know who said, wow, you've got to go to this class. That's what I do. But I would recommend a class. And then if you feel confident, of course, there's loads of stuff on YouTube and you can do that. But sometimes it's nice to be in a group because there's lovely energy, because we are creatures of energy.
Yeah.
And you get this lovely positive energy in a yoga class, you know?
Yeah, I love
that. People need connection.
Yeah.
I work from home and I am aiming to sort of get away from home a bit more to do sessions, perhaps meet people in person, because I think, you know, we are tribal creatures.
Yeah, we are.
We need connection. And so much depression and anxiety is people's feeling of lack of connection, you know?
Especially so, after the pandemic as well, when we're all told
to stay away. That really highlighted it,
didn't
it?
Yeah. We are group animals in a way. We live together. Yeah.
Well, there's nothing worse than, you know, what I learned when I was training with Marissa Peer, that rejection is one of the worst things that human beings can feel, because we are tribal.
Yeah.
You know, and people don't sleep that well at night sometimes when they live alone, because what would happen, Neanderthal man would live in a group and one person would be keeping watch for the predator or whatever. We're kind of hardwired that way.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's it. So loneliness is a big thing. So finding connection in classes, making friends, that's all so good for mental health.
Yeah, it is. Now we are going to go to a short break. See you the other side. Hey, hey! I am so excited to tell you about Zen Core Yoga. I am an ambassador for this amazing yoga clothing company, and they want to spread the benefits of yoga, because those who stick with regular yoga practice report themselves to be happier and healthier in life, like me, of course. And Zen Yoga is a Swedish clothing company that designs products for the yoga lifestyle. The company was founded in 2017 and has since then grown to over 70,000 loyal followers all over the world. And these yoga products are absolutely incredible. They are so soft. They have beautiful leggings, beautiful colors, beautiful yoga bras, and they are just incredible. And they are building deep relationships within the yoga community and have gained invaluable insights and understanding of the quality and function of yoga products. Because let's face it, you know, you just could get a cheap pair of leggings and they just go all funny. Whereas these products are absolutely beautiful, really, really nice. So head over to zencoreyoga.com and in the checkout type in YogiGemma15 for a 15% discount. So go over zencoreyoga.com and it's YogiGemma15. So I will see you on the other side. And with mental health as well, yoga and meditation, anything like that, like mindfulness, is so good. And I think a lot more companies are doing it now, but also it's more, I don't know, up to you as a person to do it as well, because you can just stick a label on anything these days and you'll be like, oh, mental health, or I've got this or I've got that. Great, but what are you actually doing to come out of or help yourself out of this?
Yeah.
I think yoga is a massive thing for that.
Absolutely. And labels are limiting. That's what I think about. Labels are limiting. Yes. They limit people. But when I teach mindfulness, say it's a 6-week course, one of the things that I say to people is we can all get very tied up with, you know, oh wow, that's fantastic, that's amazing. If you do the practices, the meditations, they're meditations where you focus on whatever, the breath, sounds, if you do those in the way that you are guided to by a good mindfulness teacher, after 6 weeks, you will be a more positive person. It's proven that your the way that you think and everything, your ability to focus, this will all change. But if you don't do the practice, it's not going to happen. You'll know you'll be able to talk to somebody at length about what mindfulness is. But if you haven't done the meditation, you won't have the benefit of that. And the ability in the workplace, for instance, to be able to focus better. So, for instance, you and I are having a conversation. My mind's not off at my next appointment.
Yeah.
I have my full and undivided focus here in this moment. This is a great advantage in the workplace. And also your memory improves. You have lots more working memory. None of it happens though unless you do it.
Yes. Yeah, you need to do it for yourself. No, yeah. Everybody can say, oh, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. But until you actually figure out that you need it right now, then yeah, then it can change your life. It's incredible.
Exactly. And it's not a luxury, is it? It's not a luxury. Yeah. Self-care, self-love, self-help. It's essential.
Yeah. It's essential. Yeah, it really is. And again, if someone was to start mindfulness or start meditation for the very first time, would you say do an hour, or would that be like 5 minutes? Or because I find that a lot of my clients will come to me and say, I can't sit there for 5 minutes, I don't have time. Like,
well, that's why it's a good idea to if you can find a course. I mean, there are loads of apps, we know there are loads of apps. Yes. But I think understanding a little bit about the theory behind it is very good. But the good news is then you understand why you need to do it. But the good news is, in mindfulness, they've done a lot of studies. And I think it's Dr. Michael Mosley, who's a very entertaining chap, isn't he?
Oh, he's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. He did something, a study, and it was on BBC years ago. And I thought, oh, God, that's interesting. And I've heard it reinforced by so many other studies, that if you just spend 10 minutes a day sitting in silence, eyes closed, nothing more complicated than that, and focus on the breath. And if you find it uncomfortable to focus on the breath, just focus on the sounds around you. And every time your mind wanders, bring it back.
Yeah.
No, what we're doing is we're just observing the breath. No, what we're doing is we're observing the sounds around us, not analyzing them. So if you do that for 10 minutes a day over, let's say, 4 to 6 weeks, you will become a more positive person. Because in this study, they showed him pictures of faces. And some were unhappy and some were happy. And when he first, before he started doing this, he remembered the unhappy ones. After the study, he remembered, when he was shown the faces again, he remembered the happy ones. And the reason for that is something really fascinating. It's called the negativity bias. So we as humans are hardwired with a negativity bias. It goes back to the reptilian part of our brain that was always scanning for the next predator, you know? So that these days, that negativity bias is triggered by, for instance, I'm sitting here with you and the doorbell rings or my phone's going off. It's all of these triggers. These are our stresses nowadays.
Yeah.
Or am I going to lose my job? Can I keep my house? Interest rates are going up. This is our stress. So if you do mindfulness practice, or indeed any meditation, but mindfulness practice really helps to focus the mind, for 4 to 6 weeks, you will see a difference. You will be calmer. You will be more positive. And you dial down that negativity bias. And this is so much more than glass half full and glass half empty.
Yeah.
It's something that's hardwired into our psyche. So, for instance, when you are stressed and not doing anything really to look after yourself spiritually, or you will always remember the bad stuff, and you will find it difficult to retrieve specific memories because it's all just paved over with blandness.
Yeah.
The life becomes richer when you're living your life more in the present moment.
Definitely. And I think as well, we've had issues with family members in the past, and we keep coming back to that it's me, that I'm so positive that nobody likes it.
They don't know how to deal with it.
Because I'm never unhappy. Yeah, I have my old days, but that's hardly ever. And
yeah, everybody has their old days
in the family. And yeah, a few family members don't like that, and they've kind of distanced themselves away. And it's like, oh, well, whatever, I don't care anymore. We spent hours and years like worrying about why don't they want to see us, what's the problem, and do you know what, it's them, they're unhappy. We've tried to help them, and I've tried to help them with everything that I know, and it's still no. And it's like, yeah, okay, whatever, we tried. And you just gotta let it go.
You've got to just accept that. Yeah. And just sort of send them love.
Yeah,
send them love, not judgment. Of course, we know all the limbs of yoga.
Yeah,
no judgment.
Have you heard of I can never say the word, but it's hyponoponu?
Oh yes. I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. But any order that you like. Yeah, I've been doing that for years.
That's great.
I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. That's it, isn't
that's
it?
That's it, yeah.
It's powerful.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's really powerful. And actually, I had a lady in my class last week, and I covered a restorative yoga class. And during it, about half an hour in, I said to everybody, think of a negative thought that you no longer need anymore. Now, that might be a friendship, that might be anything. Don't worry if you cry. Don't worry if something comes up that's uncomfortable. Let it out, let it go. And two ladies started crying, and they were like, oh, no, I shouldn't do this. I was like, just let it go. It's fine.
It's a release. Afterwards, it's a release, isn't it?
Release, yeah. And then I saw her this morning, actually, and I said, oh, how are you feeling now? She was like, yeah, I definitely needed to hear that. I had a really bad weekend, and it was something that I needed to hear. And it's gone. I've let it go. I was like, yay.
That's a gift for people. That's a gift.
But it is needed, because...
It is needed, because this is what I was saying at the beginning when we were chatting, the Michael Singer's book about the samskaras. Have we talked about samskaras?
No. So,
Michael Singer, in his book, where I read the passage from, Living Untethered, Beyond the Human Predicament, he talks about samskaras. And I thought, you know, when the light bulb goes off, I thought, yeah. Well, I learned about those when I was studying yoga.
Yes.
So what are samskaras? Samskaras are impressions or imprints formed from previous life experiences. These impressions are often thought of as seeds planted in our subconscious minds, waiting until we need them to grow into our conscious thoughts and behaviors. But basically, it's pain. You're carrying all that pain around. So until you learn to, as you've done, just let it go, forgive them, love them, or the thing, there's no peace. And you can't be happy in the way that you are.
Yes.
Jemma, you couldn't be happy if you were carrying all this stuff.
Definitely. Yeah.
I remember one very powerful analogy that, Rick, I can't think of his name, he's written a lot of books actually, he's a Buddhist, but he was doing this very powerful meditation. I often do it with people, and it's picture yourself, just briefly, picture yourself standing in front of your home. You're outside on the street, and you've got two heavy suitcases, and the one on the left represents the past, and the one on the right represents the future. So he guides people through this meditation to drop the suitcases and drop the past suitcase, drop the future. And so, you know, stop worrying about the past, stop catastrophizing about the future, and then go into your home. And then you just sit on the sofa and just notice how different you feel. So,
wow.
When you, it's a wonderful analogy, that, you know, that heavy load.
Yeah.
So you're not carrying the heavy load. So you are able to be the happy person that you are.
Yeah.
But if you were carrying all this stuff and resentment and disappointment and worry, you wouldn't be able to be the happy person that you are.
Yeah. And you probably see it as well, as in, like, I will always say to people in class, although you don't teach anymore, but push your shoulders down, or notice where your shoulders are. And most of the time, everyone's up like this until you say push them down. You're like, I can breathe now.
And then all that tension that you're carrying in the body. Yeah. And then, of course, that leads to build up, doesn't it, around muscles, the connective tissue.
Yeah.
But all of that can go. And isn't it so fascinating that people that suffer with backache, most back surgeries don't work, do they?
Nope.
And backache is so unexplained, but the spine is the main energy channel of the body, Sushumna Nadi. So when you free that up, then the back is able to relax.
Yeah.
And move, you know, spinal awareness. And
And that's so interesting as well, because when I first, only a few years ago, actually, I was teaching a lady who's a psychic, and she said, I was talking to another lady in the class after class about my pelvis, and at that point I had quite bad hip pain, and she came over and she doesn't know anything about me, and she said, you've got pain in your left hip, haven't you? And I was like, yeah. How do you know that? And she said, well, it's all of your female ancestors that have never been able to speak out, they are pushing you, so that is the pain, they are pushing you to speak out now. You're the person that they've chosen to speak out. I was like, that's incredible. And then I was like, right, okay, this is what I need to do. And it's miraculously healing itself. It's incredible. And even the surgeons are like, what?
Exactly. There's so much they don't understand.
Yeah.
I also follow the work of Dr. excuse me, Joe Dispenza.
I love him.
Oh, I love him too.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to have to take a drink.
That's all right.
I love his stuff.
Oh my gosh, yeah, definitely. I kind of base my meditations on them actually when I'm teaching.
You couldn't do any better. I was listening to a testimonial last night of a woman who had twins, and she'd been to one of his week-long retreats. She had twins, and the twins were very young, a few weeks old, and her husband walked out and left her.
Whoa.
And the next morning she woke up with terrible backache, and she'd had that backache for 11 years.
Wow.
At the end of the second day, because obviously you're immersed in meditation a lot more.
Yeah.
And then the collective energy in the room, I should imagine, is phenomenal. So after the second day, she started to notice that the pain was easing. She woke up on the third day, it had gone.
Wow.
So, yes.
It's all energies, it's moving.
It's all energy. Wow. We're like just creatures of energy, aren't we?
Yes.
So I'm sure you've had the feeling that you're around people and they're very negative, and it kind of sucks the life out of you.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah,
you can't be around that. You know, you sort of mentally wish them love, but you find when you're immersed in living the way that you're living, doing the work that you're doing, and I think the same with me, people will fall away.
Yeah. People definitely. We always say that, my husband and I. Yeah.
Your energy is moving up.
Yeah.
The scale. Towards joy. That's the place to be. That's it.
Yeah.
Joy, bliss, that's where it is.
Yeah.
And even though you don't always, as Joe Dispenza would say, think better than you feel. Mm-hmm. Think better than you feel. And it truly works.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It really does. Oh, I love this. And what are two takeaway points from today's conversation? We could chat for hours.
I mean, it's a world. There's so much to say. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to reflect again about the samskaras and how yoga does inform my work. But two takeaways. Right. Well, the first one is that self-love is a spiritual practice. It's the ultimate spiritual practice. You've got to go for it. You've got to love yourself. And the second one is release the past. Drop that heavy suitcase from the past and stop worrying about the future. Stay in the present moment. Life will become richer. And, I could go on. Give me a number three, gratitude.
Go for it. Yes, gratitude is massive.
Even when things are so bad, and we all go through cycles when things seem very challenging, and these days, that is the case for so many of us. You can bring yourself back into a better frame of mind. Last thing at night, just maybe count five things that you're grateful for. If you can do 10, and it will be the small stuff.
Yeah.
It'll be the small stuff. So that's it.
I love that. Thank you. And where can we find you? What's your website or your social media channels?
Well, I have my own website, www.mariamckayle.com. I'm very sad on Instagram. There's not much of me on Instagram, but you know, I aspire to do more, and I'm even thinking about getting on TikTok. I'm on just to do little sound bites, and I'm on LinkedIn, but Facebook, I've got a Facebook page as well, Myra McHale, and always love to hear from people. Give of my time. I'll always offer people 20 minutes to 30 minutes for an initial chat. Then if they think they'd like to explore a coaching session with me, that's also free, but only if we both, by mutual agreement.
Yeah.
And then we can talk about working on a more permanent basis.
Definitely.
That's it.
Oh, thank you. It's been so lovely having you on.
I've really appreciated it.
Good. No worries. Thank you so, so much for being here with me today. It means the world to me, and my heart is so full of gratitude right now. If you are feeling pulled to, I would love you to leave a review over on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, whatever they're called, or Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast from, whichever platform you are on. Leave a review, even do a 5-star rating if you fancy it. And yes, go and follow me over on Instagram at gemma.hayley.niece, or I'm on LinkedIn as Gemma Niece. So thank you so, so much for being here, and always reach out to me. I'm always have my DMs open, as again, Instagram at gemma.hayley.niece or LinkedIn, or go on my website, which is www.gemmaniece.com. So thank you so much, and I will see you again next week. Thank you.